Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live listener? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be part of Sheffield's newest radio station. Call us on 281-4092 or email us on info@sheffieldlive.org. 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
This is
Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippitt Lane every other Thursday.
Love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield. It's lovely. Great place.
some blood will spill. And if the boys wanna fight, you better let them. That you box in the corner, blasting out my favorite song. The nights are getting warmer, it won't be long. Won't be long till summer comes. Now that the boys are here again.
Hello and welcome to Communities Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. I'm Oliver Dixon.
I'm Chris Zanelli.
I'm Bradley Middleton.
And how are you both? Happy New Year, I should say.
Happy New Year. Yeah, all good, thank you, mate. How's your New Year been?
Good so far. Did you have a nice Christmas, both of you, as well?
We did, yeah, we certainly did.
Plenty of stuff going on, or was it a quiet one? Or
just quiet a quiet one, really. Another quiet one, yeah.
Yeah, it was good nonetheless, and quite New Year, or did you do anything special? Or
No, not really, I'm just more chilled out, really, just watching TV. You know, I didn't go out anywhere, just stopped at home with my dad watching TV, watching a few films, and that's about it, really.
They always have a load of films on around around New Year, I've noticed, like, since I've been little, anyways. Mm. But yeah, it's good to be back. We started off with a trio of songs there. We started off with Thin Lizzy's Boys Are Back in Town, rather fitting. Then we went on to Whitesnake's Is This Love and Eurythmics' Here Comes the Rain Again. And we are going to jump straight into the show, as it's been a while since the last three of us have been together.
About four or five weeks.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a catch up and everything. So what are we going to get into first of all?
So, well, have you been playing any new video games lately, you say?
I wouldn't say new releases as of such. I mean, apart from EA 26, but I get that every year.
Right.
But the game I've been playing recently, because I got gifted it on Xbox by a friend, is Resident Evil 7, the newer version. I think it's the remastered version.
Right. I want to talk to you a bit about that later on with Resident Evil. But
sure.
I want to talk to you about SC26, you say?
EAFC 26. It used to be called FIFA. Right. I still call it FIFA personally.
Right. Mm. But do you feel, I mean, because I play a lot of FIFA games as well. I mean, I don't actually buy them, actually. My brother actually buys them, and I play with him now and again. But don't you feel that it's just the same game every year, and just basically a roster update?
It pretty much is. A roster update, you're spot on there. They might add one or two new things, but sometimes they're hardly noticeable. But it's still, like, I know it's the same game, but it's still enjoyable. It doesn't get, like, old or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you play the online Ultimate Team, for example. There's always new cards and upgrades out.
But once you've, I mean, why don't we, it's like, probably I know the answer to this, but I don't understand why we, instead of just doing a full game, just do, like, DLCs every year.
Like an update.
Like an update.
I'd love an EA DLC.
You know, like, sell it off as DLC, but instead of making another game. But then again, I think I know the reason why.
Expand what's already there.
It's also how much it costs us to make as well.
Yeah.
I mean, FIFA's always expensive. Well, EA's always expensive now. So, like, when it first comes out, it's about £60-70.
Yeah.
Luckily, January sales, I got it for about £28.
Yeah.
Nice. Via the Xbox store.
And also, I mean, what do you reckon to new rumours about the new GTA 6? With how much space it's going to use on the PlayStation?
I need an SSD card, put it that way.
Is it going to take up a lot?
Well, let's just say, rumour-wise, it's going to take up to nearly half of what your memory is, which is over 500 gigs.
Because don't you get a terabyte when you buy a new Xbox?
Yeah, so you're going to need a standard terabyte. So you're going to need to delete a lot of games. But also saying that, though, it's not actually far-fetched because Call of Duty, that is 300 gigs for all games.
I know Oblivion was about 150 gig, the remastered one, because I've just had to uninstall that to make some room.
It doesn't
surprise me with GTA because of how anticipated it is and how long it's taken them.
It looks very detailed.
It looks very realistic, detailed. It's like being in a film or a TV show. But
I mean,
500 gig is a lot of space.
I mean, I liked the Red Dead Redemption 2. The only thing I was disappointed with was it didn't get as much support DLC-wise, like GTA 5 did.
GTA 5 got loads.
Yeah,
of
they were
support.
More focused on GTA 5 than they were Red Dead Redemption. Now, whether that's because, I mean, well, GTA 5 is still the highest selling game of today, isn't it? I mean, it's still popular today.
So, I mean, still people playing it, buying it.
Yeah, and you know, I can actually see why if the rumours are true. That it would cost them over £1 billion to make. I mean, they'll get that in a day.
They will. They will. But I am looking forward. Hopefully there's no more delays. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. Touch wood, all that.
Well, I think, you know what? I don't think there's anything wrong with a delay, to be honest, Oliver. And I'll say why. Because I think when you're in game development, you don't want it to be rushed out too soon.
Definitely not.
And I think if you delay it, even if it's like a half a year or a year, whatever, I think that makes all the difference between a good game and a great game.
I mean, I'm not, like, upset or anything about it being delayed. I mean, I'd rather them delay it for 2 years rather than, right, we're going straight in, and then I mean, look at Cyberpunk, for example.
Yeah.
We don't want another repeat of Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
But look how it turned out in the end.
And look how it turned out in the end. They managed to fix it. We're all getting a Cyberpunk 2 in, I think, 3 years on average. I think 2028, I think.
I think it might be longer because
or 29.
They're developing The Witcher 4.
which we'll get all before. Right.
So, I mean, the earliest we're going to get from that is 2027.
But
I think we're too busy doing that at the moment. But Cyberpunk 2, I can expect it from the next gen of consoles, I think. PlayStation 6, the new Xbox, I don't know what it's going to be called, but I think it's going to be for the next generation.
We've just had Xbox, we've had Xbox 360, Xbox One, and then Series X/S. I do wonder what the new name would be. It's rather interesting, actually.
Is it going to be like a PC hybrid or something? PC console hybrid?
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of PC players link their Xbox accounts.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure if PlayStation do or not. I'm not PlayStation sure.
But saying that, though, do you think it's worth buying an Xbox now? Because most of the Xbox games now are coming onto PlayStation 5. So is it really worth buying an Xbox now?
I think you could buy it either, really, and it'd still be the same outcome.
But you don't. But saying that, though, you don't see PlayStation 5 giving their games on to Xbox.
Apart from Helldivers.
I mean, they get exclusives, Xbox gets exclusives. I mean, look at Spider-Man, for example.
Yes.
There was some Xbox players jumping to PlayStation just for that, I remember.
Just for that, yes.
It was a good game.
I thought it was a good game. I mean,
but it could have been better.
Yeah, I mean, the second one, I felt like the story was good, the game was good. It felt like the main villain had less time than what the last one did. I mean, Dr. Octavius, who was a surprise, nobody knew who was the main villain in the first Spider-Man game. They kept that as a secret, even though we kind of knew who it was, but we kept it until we actually got the game in our hands. But Dr. Octavius had a lot of screen time. Venom, I thought it was rushed.
I mean, I remember being told that Tony Todd, the late Tony Todd, recorded loads of lines.
Yeah.
And they used
10%.
10% of all those lines, which is hardly anything, really.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can understand the story of the symbiote, where Peter Parker gets the black suit and, it becomes a darker Spider-Man, and Miles Morales had to fight him and stuff like that. Spoilers if you haven't played the game. But I felt like Venom himself didn't have a lot of screen time. I felt he was rushed. I thought what we could have done is more, if you are a huge Spider-Man fan like me, we could have done an arc on the separation anxiety storyline where all the symbiotes could have come. They could have had Carnage, we could have had Venom, if we did have Venom, we could have had Toxin, as well as
so many
others. And I've got to say, Carnage was in the game. Well, Cletus Kasady was in the game. Carnage wasn't.
Added him whilst he was there.
But he wasn't in the actual main story. He was a side story. Now, I think that was supposed to be potential DLC.
And it never happened.
But unfortunately, they cancelled the DLC, so. Oh, God. And if you played the game all the way through, you know there's a certain character that's going to be coming back into Spider-Man 3. Do you feel that there's going to be too many villains spoil the story, do you think? Because you've got too many big, you've got the potential of Green Goblin coming in, Doc Ock is coming back in, Carnage, then the Chameleon. That's the four that I actually know so far.
There's still a lot of villains.
Yeah, do you think we're going to be, those are the four biggest villains out there at the moment. Do you think they're going to be less screen time for all of them, or do you think they're going to be?
I mean, it can't really divide. Depends how big the game is, because they'd have to find a way to sort of divide. Maybe probably won't do it equally.
Yeah,
one might get more than the other.
And I think, I mean, I'm hoping it's just going to focus on the, well, not just focus on the Green Goblin, but I think I can see a Doc Ock and a Green Goblin doing together. But Carnage, I'd like to see how Carnage is going to fit
interesting, because he's an underrated villain, both in the comics, he was great in Venom 2, I thought.
Yeah.
So what would they do in a game?
Because, I mean, with Spider-Man 2, and spoilers, I felt like the symbiote invasion ended. So they've got no place for Carnage. But when you see the actual DLC, the actual side story, it's left it open for Carnage coming back, but the symbiote invasion actually ended. Why didn't we just end it in the proposed DLC? But that's, like I said, I mean, that's my opinion. I mean, but I think it remains to be seen.
It does. We are going to get into some music now, and it is this artist, it would be his 79th birthday, and it is unfortunately coming up to 10 years since his death, the great David Bowie. And legend. this song's come into the charts recently back into the charts because of a recent show. I'm not going to give away the show in case people haven't watched it yet, but this is David Bowie with Heroes.
We'll be right back. Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
7, 6.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
3, 2.
Check ignition and may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade, and the papers want to know whose shirt you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare. This is Major Tom to ground control. Stepping through the door, and I'm floating in a most peculiar way, and the stars look very different today. For here am I sitting in a tin can.
Back, that was
David Bowie.
David
Bowie, yeah. We played two songs there. I mean, Izzy's birthday, as I said, he would be 79 today, but on Saturday marks 10 years since his untimely passing.
And you know what? I mean, you're never going to get another David Bowie.
Now. Never.
I mean, it's like he was one of us that was, I mean, he was well ahead of his time, I think. I mean,
that's a good way of putting it.
1960s, he started out. And he just brought like a kind of music that you never would have heard of before. It's like, it's something like you think it's gone to another planet, and actually, you know, like from a planet Mars, and you got new instruments and stuff like that, and it's like, it's so otherworldly.
Just imagine people in the 60s and 70s being like, like hearing it for the first time, being like, well, this is something new.
Yeah. And it's like, I bet a lot of people had gave him a few strange looks at first, you know, just to see where, what...
He was pretty out there, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like, bright red hair, like face paint.
Yeah. And it's, so, I mean, but he was a great musician, I mean. I've always liked this one, Ashes to Ashes. That's one of my favourite songs.
That was a great song.
And, I mean, it's like, when you go to the end of that song and they do all that instrumental, it's like, this is not earthly. You know, this is not earth. It's definitely, you definitely feel like you're in space.
I think that was part of his intention as well. It just make you feel like you're out of this world.
So, it makes you wonder. I mean, I wonder if he's actually been like a science fiction fan before, you know, like...
But this was before, you know, Star Wars and everything came out. So, when science fiction wasn't too big, really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, I mean, you had like War of the Worlds and stuff like that, but...
Did you have Star Trek then, or Star Trek after?
I think, that
was after.
After.
I think that was a good question. I think that was after.
I mean, we had Doctor Who in the UK by then, but it didn't quite reach America by then.
And then you had Battlestar Galactica, which is an old one. I mean, I've never seen it. I've always been a Star Wars fan, but I've never watched Star Trek. I need to start catching up on that, really. But, going back to David Bowie, he was like, it's... What do you reckon to his last album, would you say?
Well, because it came out...
not long before he died,
Not long before he died.
Yeah.
Because he knew he was on his way out by then, I think. He kept it really private. I mean... It was a huge shock when I remember that morning on the news.
Yeah.
I was like, but then when it got told, you know, he had cancer for a while.
Yeah.
Like, and he kept it private. But I remember when it came out, and it was a good album, actually.
Oh, it was,
Some of the songs on there, you could tell he's writing about himself, saying, I'm on my way out.
Yeah.
So it's quite an emotional album, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you've seen the video for, I think it was called Black Star, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And he's got this blooming bandage around his eyes with little dots. So that's blooming creepy. What are you doing?
It was like a shadow of himself, really. Yes. I mean, he was thin because he was poorly.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember he was like coming in and out of a wardrobe or something. So it was like, or going in saying, right, see you, I'm off.
I think it's like he knew his time was coming to us. I think he said to management, like, right, get this CD out now.
I want one last hurrah, then I'm gone.
But he was a great, I mean, he was a legend. But, I mean, I would love to have seen him.
Same. If he was still around now, I'm sure he'd still be. And if he was healthy, he's making music, touring. Mm. I mean, I would have paid some good money to go and see him.
Yeah. But say that, I mean, talking about that, I mean, how much would you think is a decent pay for a ticket, would you say?
That's a good question. I mean, I know some of the... Is it any band or would you say...
Any band, I mean...
Because I'm seeing Deep Purple in November this year. And
right.
I think the tickets were... Between £40 and £60. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on it, but I think that is a decent price. But when you've got bands like Metallica
charging
hundreds,
mm-hmm.
And then you had Black Sabbath last year were charging about £200. It was going to charity, so
but that's going to charity.
I can forgive that, but generally, like, some bands might be like, right, we're going to charge hundreds. But others, let's say, we're going to charge you like maybe £50, which I think
reasonable.
You get your money's worth. You get a two-hour concert,
a
great experience. So I think that's
50 sounds reasonable.
Fifty is reasonable.
And I think, to be honest, I mean, to say that about Black Sabbath, I mean, charging £200, but it's not just, it wasn't just them, it was also
it was like a full, it was like almost a festival, really.
Yeah.
It was literally like a heavy metal all-star.
Yeah.
Like Ghost and...
Ghost, we had Metallica, Guns N' Roses, Aerosmith, well, Steven Tyler at least.
Yeah. I mean, they invited Def Leppard, but unfortunately they didn't make it. So, I mean, that was a shame, really. But, sorry, I'm going to... But, yeah, I mean, but to say that was his final hurrah, I mean, I would have loved to have seen him.
If I knew Ozzy was going to go weeks after, I would have gone. I know it would cost a lot of money, but I would have loved to have.
But I think you would have had more chance at winning lottery to get in a ticket, to be honest, because he was too popular. And
it was even if Ozzy didn't go after, it was their last ever concert.
Yeah.
It was Black Sabbath. And they got together especially, being like, right.
But I mean, I would love to have him in the studio. That would have been epic.
Probably the best show would ever do. So far, that'd set the bar at least.
Well, let's just say whether it would be broadcastable, you know, with him coming in with swearing, yeah,
we'd have to be very careful.
It's another matter, isn't it? but no. I mean, he was a legend, and God bless his soul.
Some of the Black Sabbath members are doing like individual stuff. I mean, Tony Iommi's got a few things on.
He's got an album coming out this year, I think, Tony Iommi.
Solo album. I think Geezer Butler's got something as well.
I think he's been doing something,
yeah.
I heard he's been using AI for lyrics from
AI for
lyrics.
I'll actually get onto this like rather quickly.
To help him like write lyrics and stuff.
Do you think using AI is suitable now for like songwriting?
But then it
puts songwriting to shame now, really.
That's what I mean.
Because you've got like songwriters from... you had the Beatles, who were genius songwriters.
Yeah,
it's moved on significantly since then, and I'd rather write my own thing because it's not creative, though, is it?
It's a skill and a talent to write music.
Yeah, and a big skill actually. It's probably the most important part of music, like writing the songs.
Do you know? I'm going to say this now because you just brought up an important topic there, because AI is now taking over, unfortunately. And it's not just music, it's movies, it's games, it's shopping. Anything on the computer is driven by AI. And you've got to be very careful because there is also, I don't think a lot of people know this, that online, like on Facebook, you've got like scam adverts where there's like a face of a certain celebrity, say whether it be Elon Musk or Martin Lewis from the Money... saving expert, and they use his likeness, and we're saying like he's done a new project, and you could invest this so much money, and people are doing it, and it's only
illegal, right?
It is illegal, but
very illegal.
Unfortunately, a lot of people, nobody's doing anything about it, and
can they though?
Well, they're
powerless now.
We need to do. We need to have some computer regulations to keep people safe because it is basically like the wild, wild west in computing. Because there's so many scams out there, and I mean, a lot of people that I know have actually got tricked by one, and you just got to. It's like some people say that you can get £100 voucher from IKEA. Who gives £100 out in that to IKEA? Right. You know, to people. We don't, do we? And then it's like, you sign up to it, but we want your card details and stuff like that. But people are giving it to them.
I mean, it is scary how real AI is sometimes. I mean, sometimes I can tell the difference.
Yeah.
Especially on videos, but it is scary how real AI is becoming. Like, but, really, really scary.
But also, I want to say this as well, though. I mean, about AI. Do you feel like AI is going to be taking over jobs soon? I mean, do you feel like there's going to be jobs for us?
I know maybe like IT-based jobs, or if you have to work on a computer.
Yeah.
But even like in shops, if like a self-checkout, they'll put in workers out of a job, really. Like, you'll be able to just check out using an AI and then... there you go, you've done your shopping.
But it's not.
It's unfair on people who've, not even if they've worked there for years, if they're working in general, it's not fair on them just losing a job because of AI.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I've read somewhere, and Xbox has done this, and Activision, they were working on the new Call of Duty game and they were using AI. And this is the new one that's just come out, Black Ops 7, which I wouldn't recommend to people, I'll be honest. Yeah, it's not the best one. Is it better than Modern... I'll just say this. It's a lot better than Modern Warfare 3, which only had 14 months in the making.
Yeah.
And when I say Modern Warfare 3, I mean the rebooted...
The new one.
Not the old Modern Warfare 3. If you want to go back to Modern Warfare 3, play the old one. That's a lot better than the rebooted one, in our opinion. The Modern Warfare 3 reboot, it were rushed.
Very rushed.
And I've heard rumour-wise, that Infinity Ward is making a Modern Warfare 4, but we're making it like Modern Warfare 3.
What's the point of that?
And we had 4 years in making it, so...
That's confusing.
Yes.
What would be the point of, like, making a game similar to a past game?
So, I mean...
don't get that one, personally.
So, and I also want to ask you this as well, I mean, and I'm not just talking about Call of Duty, because a lot of games now are going down the yearly route, like Resident Evil. Silent Hill is becoming an annual game now. Again, Call of Duty. Even Battlefield. Battlefield, they're thinking about bringing it annually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, I feel like if you're going to make it annually, don't you feel that the game is going to make it's going to be stale?
It would be another like Call of Duty situation where it's
seem rushed,
rushed or similar, or they run out of ideas quickly because they've only got a year or just over to develop it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't move it to that sort of format.
Yeah,
because it's not going to work, I don't think. Well, that's just my opinion, anyways. I could be wrong. It could work out really well, but personally, I don't feel like it will be to its best.
And also, talking about Call of Duty, I don't know if you actually know this, but it's not just one studio. There's about 7 or 8 or 9 studios making one game. So you've got like Sledgehammer and Treyarch all working on Modern Warfare alongside their own project as well.
It used to be, it was just the two companies alternating between them each year. Like, it used to be...
Infinity Ward, and then it were Treyarch.
Yeah, they alternated between Black Ops and Modern Warfare, the original Modern Warfares.
But, I mean, that, we only had 2 years to make the game, though. I mean, it's
better
like...
Better than 1 year, though.
It is, but, I mean, but it's still short for a development cycle. I think for games now, the need for... to be the quality that it should be now... You're talking about it needs at least 4 or 5 years.
For an almost perfect game, or like a really good quality one at least, it does need that amount of time. And I'd rather them do that, actually. I'll patiently wait 4 or 5 years for a good game.
Yeah.
And so I've got my money's worth.
Yes.
Right now, Call of Duty, I don't think anybody's getting their money's worth. And they're paying all that money just for a game that's stale.
I mean, it's the worst. It is the worst Call of Duty I've played, I'll be honest. I mean, it's not... one of the worst Call of Duties. I mean, Modern Warfare 3 is definitely up there.
Yeah.
And that's because they basically didn't create anything new. They used basically multiplayer maps for the campaign and just stuck it into single player, you know what I mean? So it was just a cobbled together story.
Yeah.
Which could have been so much better if they had the time. But the plan was originally they were going to make like a smaller Call of Duty, not a full-size Call of Duty. It was going to be like a DLC,
right,
which would let me in probably about a 2-3 hour campaign. That would have been so much better than a full release.
I wish I'd done that.
But Activision had decided to cancel the small DLC and make it into a full game. So, but and obviously, what happened there? Well,
self-explanatory.
So, but and we're going to talk a little bit about Resident Evil because you were interested about hearing about Resident Evil.
Yeah, I've never actually played them myself.
Right. Well, let's Resident Evil is a survival horror game.
Yeah.
And it's been going on for 1996, weren't it? 50
it's celebrating
years.
Its 30th year this year, or 30th anniversary.
It's as old as me. So. That's in 30 this year as well.
Well, thank you for making me feel old, because I feel ancient now. I mean, that was the first ever game that I played, Resident Evil. And when I must have been about 7 years old, and how on earth I managed to play through that when I was that when I was that little, I mean, is beyond me. But I've always been a fan, and Resident Evil 2 is the top game.
It forever will be, and that's on Xbox Game Pass now.
2 and 3 are, yeah.
I shall go back to 2 because it's been years since I played it.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, if you got to play, but the thing is, Brad, that, I mean, there's that many games, but I'll tell you what you've got to play first. I would recommend that you play the first Call of Duty, first Resident Evil game first.
Yeah.
Because that's where the story begins.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, you've got a prequel, you've got Resident Evil 0, but I wouldn't recommend playing that yet. I'd keep that until after you played Resident Evil 1, 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Play those three games first. Then play Resident Evil 0, because, again, like I say, it will spoil the surprises for Resident Evil, the original. Resident Evil 4 is more action-packed than what the other three, four are, I think. Then you got Code Veronica. No, sorry, Code Veronica was before Resident Evil 4, wasn't it? Sorry. Then you got Resident Evil 5. You're looking confused, I know you are. It's so much
it's
to take
in. It
sounds
to
like
take
a lot going on.
And then you got Resident Evil 5, which is the co-op. I mean, it's not the best one, I'll be honest. Resident Evil 6, too many characters spoil the broth, I'll say on that. Resident Evil 7 is very much like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Evil Dead kind of game.
Yeah. It does sound like my kind of game.
Which is... And I mean, I've got to be honest, when I played it, it was one of the best games I played. Again, if you like Texas Chainsaw Massacre or Evil Dead or any horrors, actually, I recommend playing that.
Yeah.
Resident Evil Village is more gothic horror, more like with werewolves, vampires. I don't want to spell mermans, should I say. So it's like, if you like, kind of like a Van Helsing in a way, isn't it? It's like, because if you...
Similar, yeah.
Because you've got, like, all your main monsters there. Like, you've got, like, the creature from the Black Lagoon, and you've got, like, Dracula, and you've got, like, the werewolf, and all that. And then you got the new one, which is coming out, which is going to take you back 30 years. It's in the present day, don't get me wrong, but you've got 30 years of history. So it's taking you back to where it all started, which is Raccoon City. So that's going to be... So, or should I say, what is left of Raccoon City?
Like post-apocalyptic, almost.
It's not post-apocalyptic... Well, it is post-apocalyptic Raccoon City, but it's not in a post-apocalyptic world. I don't want to say too much about it, because if you haven't played the games, then you'll not know what I'm talking about. So, but we're coming here to the end of the show. I mean, God, it's been slow, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've got one final song to play shortly. As I said, it has flown by.
So,
it always does. But do you think you'll consider more Resident Evil now you've heard?
Yeah, I don't play much horror. Saying that, I am currently playing Alan Wake 2 at the minute, which is kind of like a Stephen King novel in a game form, in a way. So
sounds good.
Once I've completed that, I might give the Resident Evil games a go.
I mean, there's a lot of games in this, a lot of playthrough, but most of it's worth it.
I've got to say, I played Alan Wake 2. I've never finished it though, because I felt it dragged on too long.
I'm starting to think that myself. It seems kind of repetitive in a way.
Yeah.
In some parts.
I mean, it takes a while to actually work on it, to get the gist of it.
Yeah.
Because it is a complicated game.
Yeah.
But it's a great game, no man in doubt, but it felt too long for me. So, but anyway, you've got one more song that you're going
to
play?
The song that we're going to get to is Babushka by Kate Bush.
Before the years flew by.